We've been in the middle of a series. We're talking about, what are you reaching for? What are you reaching for? We have to reach in order to reach our full potential. We have to do something to reach our full potential in God. And that's what we're after. And we have this acronym for the word REACH. R stood for relationships. You're going to become like who you hang out with. So be careful on how you choose your friends. E stood for evangelism. We want to reach out and touch people. Remember, we talked about how easy it is to just say, would you like to come to church? Invite people to church. Invite people into the presence of God. The A, last week we talked about accountability. Romans 14:12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. We're all going to be held accountable. So it's a good idea to have an accountability partner, someone who encourages you, someone who challenges you, someone who causes your life to change. We found out that the disciples, they grew in the context of accountability. They had a coach. They had a mentor. They grew in the context of community. They had one another. So we need to do that also today in order to reach, I believe, what our full potential is. And when I think about accountability, an accountability partner, I could just summarize it by this video right here.
Is it?
An accountability partner. Hold on, buddy. I thought, my gosh, how did he catch that on film is what I wanted to know. I mean, that's incredible. We need someone who's got our back, someone who will hold us accountable, someone who will help us to grow. By the way, if you want any of our messages, you can get them with our app, Living Faith Fellowship, or you can go to our website and download any of those as well if you want to share them with your family or friends or anything like that. What is the C in REACH? R-E-A-C. C, I believe, reaches us to the word of calling. To reach our full potential, we must reach out to find and fulfill our calling. This from God. A calling. Do you have a calling? Everyone has a calling. A calling can be very natural. Something like being a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, or maybe to go to school, or maybe it's to be a grandfather. That's a great calling that I have. Maybe a vocation or job, but I kind of, when I look at some of these things, I look at vocation or job, your job is an instrument that helps you carry out your calling. I think jobs and careers come and go. It's known now that a person will probably transfer jobs 4 to 5 times within their career, different aspects. So jobs come and go, but your calling, your God-appointed mission in life stays with you the moment you are called, moment with you until you are called home to heaven. God has given you a calling. He's placed something there. You may not understand it all or know it all yet, but God has called you. And let me define what I think calling is, okay? We got all these other things and all those that are nice, but I want to summarize it this way. Calling. Your God-appointed purpose and task to help advance the kingdom of God. Your God-appointed purpose and task to help advance the kingdom of God. You see, God's given you a job and you can help advance a company, but advancing that company isn't the number one thing he wants you to do. He's saying that your life is also going to advance the kingdom of God. Now, I encourage you to do well at your jobs. I encourage you to excel at your jobs and go up the ladder and do all of that. But that's not your calling. Your calling, that's your vocation. Your calling is what God placed inside of you. Your calling is when he spoke to you and said, come, I want to live inside of you. And then when he did, when he came inside of you and he became your Lord and Savior, he said, I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I've got a journey. I've got a destination for us to go on together here. I've got something that I want you to fulfill. I've got a calling. A calling. I want you to help me advance the kingdom of God. Is what the Lord is saying. Everyone has a calling. Everyone here today has a calling from God. You may not understand it all, but he's called you. A purpose in God. A God-appointed mission in life. a spiritual destiny. God has something great in store for you. Well, if you wouldn't mind standing as we look at our text for this morning, we're going to look at a couple of others, but this is not our main one this morning. Hebrews 11, 8 and 10. Remember the word called. Say it with me. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You may be seated. Called. The whole Hebrew nation has Father Abraham as our roots, as our start. And he was called by God. He was called by faith. Abraham obeyed when he was called. He obeyed when he was called to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. The word called here in Hebrews, the word called here is kaluo, and it means to urge on, to hail, to incite by word, i.e. order. It's a very strong word. Hail. I don't know if any of you have been in New York City before and seen people that hail a taxi. They're very proactive about it. It's not just, hey, if there's a taxi there, because there's a lot of people who want taxis, and it's like, hey, taxi! Over here! I mean, it's quite vocal, it's quite interactive, it is quite fun to watch, actually. It's not just a simple passive act. It's a very involved action. God is hailing you. Hey, I have something for you to do. I have a call on your life. I have a purpose. I have a destiny. I have something that I want you to do that will advance my kingdom. And that when you get at the end of your life, you look back and go, wow, I got to partner with God to see His kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to be partners with Him. He's placed a call upon you. Will you answer it or will you not? He's called you. God got Abraham's attention. He's just kind of minding his own business in Ur, you know. Ur of the Chaldees. He's just minding his business, and God begins to give them a call. Calls his father and then calls him. He urged him. He called him to action. He wanted to set something in order. You see, to fulfill a calling, it takes faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. To fulfill a calling, it takes obedience. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. I can't tell you how many Christians, when the call comes, don't exercise their faith, they don't believe it, and they don't obey it. I don't know how many times in my own life I have missed out on something because I didn't apply my faith, or I just simply didn't obey what the Lord wanted me to do there, and missed out on an opportunity to advance His kingdom. I'm so thankful He doesn't just discard us though, and He says, hey, I've got another one. I got more. I've given you specific things, but I got an overall plan for you. An overall plan. You haven't messed out on the overall plan. I know we've all failed. We've all fallen into sin. We've all done stuff we shouldn't have done. We said no to Him when we should have said yes. And He's saying, you know what? He's such a gracious and loving God. That love keeps pursuing us. He says, He's not done with you. You've not ruined it. Just answer when I call you. Just answer the call. A calling takes us from one place to another. He was in Ur of the Chaldees. He was in Ur, and all of a sudden, God is taking him into Canaan, into the promised land. He wants him to go from here to here. You see, a calling takes us from one dimension to another. your calling will take you from one dimension to another. Not necessarily is it from one locale to another. It could be. He could do that. I know he did it with Abraham. But what I want you to see more than just that is this idea. It takes us from one dimension to another dimension. It takes us from this natural dimension as we obey God, and all of a sudden we start seeing things with spiritual eyes. We start seeing a spiritual realm. We start seeing a heavenly calling, a heavenly vision. We start seeing something that's more impactful than just what's here and now we can see with our natural eyes. God is doing something that you have to see with spiritual eyes. And when he asks you to do something that seems illogical, he's saying, just trust me because I'm going to do something powerful through it. He takes us from one dimension, a natural dimension, and he takes us to another dimension, a spiritual dimension. A calling will always take you from the natural to the spiritual because you'll start seeing things that the Spirit is doing. What God is doing in a bigger way. Abraham said yes. He answered that call. He answered that call. Even though it may not have made sense to him. Even though it wasn't logical. You may not change locations, but you're going to have to change your logical thinking. You're going to have to change how you see things. I was talking to a guy a couple of days ago. Came into my office, funny guy. Guy from way back, you all know, a lot of the old timers know him. And he said, yeah, he bought this motorcycle, Triumph motorcycle. And he told the guy, he said, yeah, I'll give you $5,555.55. And the guy goes, but, he goes, no, I'll give you $5,555.55. And he goes, no, I'll give you $5,555.55. And the guy goes, okay, but I'm only asking 5,000. I know, but I'm going to give you $5,555.55. And I said, well, why did you do that? And he goes, because I just wanted to have an opportunity to talk to the guy about grace. Five, the number of grace. So here he pays $555.55 more so he can talk to the guy about the gospel. Wow. So he can talk to him about grace because the guy now is scratching his head. Going, what the? And he gets hit by the gospel of grace. I think it left an impression. You see, you have to leave logic. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're walking in a calling, God's going to ask you to do things. You're going to go, it doesn't make natural sense. You shouldn't do that. Why would I? Because God's got it planned out. God knows. Are we listening to his voice? Are we listening to the call? It may not make sense to the natural mind, but it does in the Spirit. I like what it says here as we continue on in this scripture about this calling that Abraham embraced. He says, and he went out. Read the next phrase with me. Not knowing where he was going. How many people like to go someplace that you don't know where you're going? There's a few adventuresome people out there. Oh, yeah, whatever. Most people kind of like to know, where are we going? How do we get there? And here Abraham, this man of faith, this man who received a calling from God, had no idea where he was going. He simply said, I want to go. I have no idea how to get there. I want to go. Not knowing where he was going. I like this passage because I think it's so true. Because when God calls you in the early stages and all the way along, it's like we really have no idea where we're going. When God called me, I had no idea I would be standing up before you here on Sunday mornings and preaching the Word of God to you. Honestly, if the Lord would have told me that at the start when I said, Amen! You know, hey, if I would have known that, I would have said, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting in front of people. You have to understand that when I was in college, I was a very, very shy person.
Very shy.
Very very shy person. I wouldn't get up here. Get up and talk to people? I'm not going to do that. Get up here and make a fool of myself? Maybe I did some of that. Maybe. You see, sometimes if he would have told me that, I would have said, no, God, maybe I don't want to go. Because I can't really see that. How could that happen? I'm just a dumb Idaho football player. I can't do that. I could never do that. And what he did, though, is he got me saved and set me on fire. And then he just watched me burn for a while. And then he put thoughts and ideas. And then he said, hey, I want you to stick around for a while. They want you to go out and interview jobs. Stay in the area. And okay, I was dumb enough to say yes. And then he supernaturally gets me a job. And then after a year, I end up working here full time. And all of a sudden, start Campus Christian Fellowship and then Bible studies. And then that all happens. And then we turn it over to Pastor Joe and he grows that. And then I get become the senior pastor. I'm going, what? Back there, I didn't know where I was going. And ignorance then was bliss. I have found that most callings of God, when he calls you, when you hear the call. You see, he didn't just cause you to be born and get married, have some children, and then just walk through life, have a nice job and a nice white house with a nice white picket fence and everything lovely and wonderful and aren't you great. He wants to add to that. This idea of advancing his kingdom. This idea that you have purpose, you have destiny, you have DNA inside of you that's a makeup of God, and he wants to use it in your everyday life and touch your boss and your workers, and he wants you to instill it into your children, and he wants you to help the person at the grocery store, and he wants you to give away of the elements of the kingdom of God to other people. Most callings of God advance his kingdom. It generates uncertainty. It generates questions. Where are we going? That's where the faith comes in. That's where the trust comes in. Because it'll take you past your comfort zone. And you start going, Lord, I don't know where I'm going. But as long as you are there, I'm in. As long as you are there, I'm in. So how do you discover your calling? Do you open up your mailbox one day and find a mysterious letter with your calling written on it? Please don't do whatever it says. Is God calling? Is it a spoken word from a booming voice out of heaven telling you exactly what to do? How do you discover it? How do you be sure of it? Anytime you want to hear God, I think the method is the same. You really want to hear God? Start praying. Read your Bible. Start praying. Read your Bible. Fast. Meditate. Talk to godly friends. And patiently listen. And say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know your call. Lord, I know you've called me into accounting or to engineering or whatever it is. I know that that's where I'm going. But Lord, along the way, I'm supposed to leave a deposit of your DNA wherever I go. Lord, what's your calling? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? I want to be with you. He equips you. We don't recognize our calling overnight. Rather, God reveals it to us gradually over the years, over time. He starts zeroing it more and more. At first, it was just, I'm following you and whatever. And then when they offered me the job here to come on staff, I first of all declined it. I said, what? I wanted to be a civil engineer ever since I was in sixth grade. Finally, I ended up taking that call and decided to do that. And then he would reveal more, and then marriage, and then children, and then grandchildren, and then the ministry. And then he didn't tell me all that until I got close enough that I was willing to go, okay, God. And I'm not saying that your calling means you're a fivefold minister or you're called to preach or whatever, but you're called to advance his kingdom. You're called to advance his kingdom, and it's the greatest adventure of all time. I know a lot of people say, I don't want to be a Christian because Christianity is boring. Oh, no, they don't understand Christianity. They may understand religion because religion is really boring. But they don't understand relationship, because when you're in relationship with He is divine, He who is miraculous, He is omnipotent, He is eternal, He who has all power, all glory, all dominion, and you're a spokesman for that person, and He empowers you, that's not dull. I think about all of the Hebrews 11 people. You know, this is Hebrews 11. We're talking about Abraham, but there's the whole chapter about these men and women of faith that did great things to advance the kingdom of God. And when you read through it, almost all of them were in the dark at the start. I don't know. I mean, didn't know. And God would progressively reveal things as they kept saying, yes, yes, yes. They didn't know where they were going until they finally got there. But they had one thing in common. Faith drove them, and their belief in Christ. I think there's a great deal of uncertainty in listening to and fulfilling the call of God in your life. There's some uncertainty. I can understand that when you're a little nervous inside. I get it. I've been nervous most of my life. But remember, He's called you. Oh, I'm too old to be called. I've passed my calling. Abraham was 75 when he heard this word. How many people here are over 75? Okay, a few folks, a few of our awesome people. Two, three. Okay. How many people here are under 75? Okay. You qualify for the calling. You are never too old to answer the call of God on your life. You are never too old. You are never too young to answer the call of God on your life. Josephus, the first century historian, Jewish historian, said that Samuel, when he heard the voice of the Lord the very first time, was probably 11 or younger. How many people here are older than 11? You qualify. You qualify. And let me tell you this. No matter how far you run, or how much you plug your ears, or how much you don't want to fulfill the call, or how much you don't want to advance the kingdom of God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you this right now. He will never give up on you. He will always hound you. He will always ask you. I don't care how many times you've not answered the call. I don't know how many times you have hung up on Him. You can go ahead and take that. I've been in meetings before, and I'll look at people and I go, and their phone rings, and I go, oh, you got it ringing. Please go ahead and take it. And they go, ah, nah. Swipe. Who was that? No, it was just God calling. I'm really just tired of doing His stuff. What? You haven't done much of His stuff if you're tired of it. Because it's the most energizing work and walk you could ever be on. But how many times when God calls us, we don't want to answer because I really don't want to do it, whatever He says He wants me to do. Because it's going to be scary. It's going to be uncertain. It's going to be... All right, who did that? Joe Fitzgerald. Swipe. Pocket dial, baloney. We swipe and hang up on the people we really don't want to talk to right now. And how many times have we done it to God? Oh, no. I You hung up on Him. Oh, no, I didn't know. When you felt a tap, when you felt a ring, did you stop and listen? Did you stop and say, yes, Lord? What do you want me to do? That would be scary. He goes, I know. I'm so excited for you. Because with all of that fear is going to come all of my anointing to help you triumph over it. You're never too old. You're never too young. My question is, he's calling. He's calling. He's calling. Have you swiped him out? Or have you answered his call? Have you answered his call? Here am I, Lord. Send me, as Isaiah said. Or let me ask you this. Do you answer a call from God with excitement? Or like he's a solicitor at dinner time? Or I don't do dinner anymore. Now they do it like at 8 o'clock in the morning. I think 7:45. Aaron was telling me he always gets a call 8 a.m. every morning from the same guy. Same roto call. We get them every morning too. Get them every morning. It's just like, kink, kink. We just go bump, bump on the phone. Because we're stupid enough to have a landline. Yeah, I know. Then they know that we're real, and then they call me 27 times a day. But that is a very good response there. You are more spiritual than me, my friend. Good response. Good response. But how do we answer when he calls? Oh, yes, Lord. Yeah. Get away from the distractions. Want to get alone. And what are you saying? Or is it like, oh, geez, don't say anymore. Don't say anymore. Don't say another word. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Are you looking forward to his call? How many of you got up this morning and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do today? How do you want me to advance your kingdom today? Somehow, some spot, somewhere, some little something. It's incredible. Calling. Some Christians answer the call. Some Christians don't answer the call and are in danger of being swallowed by a big fish. Remember Jonah. He didn't answer the call, right? God said, go this way. He said, okay. And he went that way. I'm not saying that God is going to bring a big fish and swallow you. But you'll never experience the adventure of Christianity safely in your, I don't want to be uncomfortable Christianity surroundings. If your surrounding is, yes, Lord, whatever, whatever, whatever. But I don't know where I'm going. How many times, I'll tell you, when I made the switch out of my profession into the ministry, my mom just is like, you're whacked out, dude. Why are you doing that? I know it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense. What are you going to do? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know where I'm going. But I know who I'm going with. I don't know where I'm going. But I know who I'm going there with. You see, a calling is not a destination. A calling is a process, a journey, an adventure. Remember that with the calling comes the anointing to fulfill the calling. I've already talked about that. And in 2 weeks, I'm going to finish because I know the college students are going to be up their big weekend. And so I'm going to postpone my H for the following week. I'll give you something else. Probably something on zeal since that's what they're talking about. Because I want you guys to hear it. Because I think it's the power that enables us to do the calling. By faith, he dwelled in the land of promise. Ah, don't you want to dwell in the land of promise? Rather than the land of futility, the world. I want to dwell in the land of promise as in a foreign country. I've got the power and the presence of God here in this. It's like a foreign country here in the United States. I feel the presence and power of God in my life and what he wants me to do and called me to do. And I want to dwell in the land of promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He by faith worked with God to see God's promise come to pass. It was amazing because I said this, I was talking with that same guy. And he was saying, he's going on a trip to I don't know, back east someplace, going to a wedding. And so he comes in and he says, you know, I said, hey, Lord, we're going back east, wherever it was. Want to go with me? You're going with me, right? And then the Lord said to him, hey, how about you go with me? And he went, A lot of times I think in our Christianity, Lord, I want to go that way. You want to go with me? And God says, hey, want to go with me? It may even be in the same direction, but it's different who's leading. It may be in the exact same direction, but a life is a lot more different when he's leading than when you're leading. When he's going with you, he's got to bless everything you got. But when you're going with him, he opens up doors to the supernatural to fulfill the calling and the abundance of the adventure of advancing his kingdom. I'm just telling you. Is it scary? Heck yeah, it's scary. Is it hard to talk to the person at the cashier and go, she's talking about she's sick. Hey, could I pray for you? It's scary, but it's the adventure. It's the adventure. And if we learn to trust he who's leading us, we'll find out that that adventure is greater than any other plot or plan we could have devised ourselves. Also, you can't delegate God's calling. Here am I, send her. Oh, yeah, I think we should do that. Go, you guys. Yeah, I'm all in for that. Hey, you too, you move. No, it's a personal calling. I like this too. I don't know. My wife showed me this quote. When God put a calling on your life, he already factored in your stupidity. Write that one down because it's so true. Write it down. Because that is so true. When God put a calling on your life, he already factored in your stupidity. He knows you're going to muck it up. All right? He knows. I know you tried hard. Good job. He already factored it in. He knew we were going to mess up. He knew we were going to fumble the ball. He knew we were going to flutter around. He knew that. He anticipated that. But he still called you. And in the fumbling and the flitting around and the falling and getting back up is how he makes a man or woman of God. He learned from all those experiences and he grows you and he changes you and he challenges you and you begin to trust him and enjoy him. And so that at the end of your life, you can hardly wait to see him. This one you've served for so many years. Sometimes we just fall into it, I think, and what we're doing. And what is God's calling on your life? Are you fulfilling it? Are you fulfilling the calling? Pastor Ken Ulmer related a story about a criminology course he took in college. He says that he didn't attend all the classes as well as he should have. But when he heard about an assignment to write a research paper, he poured himself into the project. Now, he just heard about it. Okay, hoping he could compensate for his frequent absences. The professor returned Ulmer's paper with this evaluation. Good paper. Great content. Great research. But on the paper was a giant F and circled in red, accompanied by an explanation. But this was not the assignment. Good paper, great content, great research. Wrong assignment. I don't want to miss my assignment. You can do great at, out in the world and doing so many things, and we can view you as successful because you've got a lot of money and you've got a lot of possessions and you've got a lot of this and a lot of that, a lot of prestige, and people want you to be on their boards and they want you to speak. That's great. That's awesome. And I'm all for that. But is it your assignment? Is my assignment to gain all this world has to give was my assignment to advance the kingdom of God on the face of this earth. I'm not saying you shouldn't do well in your job. Please don't hear that. I'm not saying you shouldn't get all the accolades. I'm not saying all of that. When I think about great people, when I think about Kurt Warner. Remember Kurt Warner? He becomes a Christian in 1997, finally on fire Christian in 1997. He wasn't drafted. He was undrafted, and all these things happen. And he's a checker in a store making $5.50 an hour. And then all of a sudden, in 1999, I believe it was, he gets a chance to play for the St. Louis Rams. He's playing for the St. Louis Rams. He's down the depth chart there. But all the other starting quarterbacks got hurt in preseason. So he starts. He starts. He becomes an undrafted, the very first undrafted, most valuable player in the NFL and the most valuable player in the Super Bowl and the first time quarterback who won a Super Bowl and was never drafted by anybody. I just think it's amazing, isn't it? He's making $5.50 an hour. Next year, it went up. Still in that first year, he didn't make much. After that first year, 47 mil. That, I could probably live on that. I think of Gardner Minshew. The guy goes down in front of him. He has the highest completion percentage of all the QBs in the NFL that week, last week. 22 out of 25 for 88%. He set an NFL record for rookie QB's first game. He also set a record with 12 completions in a row. The guy is like, what? I'm going to go to Alabama and become a coach. Oh, no. Somehow he ends up at WSU. Somehow he ends up starting. Somehow he ends up doing well. Somehow he ends up getting drafted. Somehow he ends up with the Jaguars. And somehow he ends up on the depth chart. And somehow he ends up with the other guys falling down, falling down, falling down. And somehow he ends up starting. You know, sometimes God takes us in funny directions. I know it's a natural one, but keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk worthy of your calling. I'm calling you to advance the kingdom, and I'm going to give you all the power to do it. So could you please walk worthy of that call? From that who is divine. With all lowliness, gentleness, long suffering. Be patient with me as God develops me into the man, a woman of God I'm supposed to be. I think we need to be patient with one another as God develops us and as we make mistakes and screw it up and do this and do that. But I don't know where I'm going. But I want to go with him. And I know I've messed it up. That word calling here, be worthy of the calling, is another Greek word, klesis. And it means an invitation. God's inviting you. God's inviting you to a spiritual adventure. He's inviting you to advance his kingdom, not yours. God's calling is not forced, but offered. It's your choice to accept or reject. Do you know your calling? Do you know what God's called you to do? 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling, klesis, an election, your divine selection. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. It doesn't just happen. You have to be diligent. You have to be diligent. He's a rewarder of those who... A rewarder of those who... Seek him. You got to be diligent to make your calling and election sure. The word diligent here... Spodadso, it means to use speed, to make effort, to be prompt, to be earnest. I'm going after this thing. I want the call of God on my life to come to being. Romans 1 or 11, 29. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Say that with me. Irrevocable. God's called you. He's called you. He's called you. Called you with amazing callings. And you know what? Those callings and giftings, they're irrevocable. He's not taking them back. You can squander them. You cannot use them. You can quit on them, but he will never take them back. He's got a big plan, a big purpose, an amazing destiny. And he's going to give you all the giftings, all the enabling, all the stuff. And he's saying, I'm not taking it back. I'm not taking it back, but you can choose not to use it. You can choose not to do it. You see, the calling or this invitation is irrevocable, but you have to RSVP. You got to accept it. 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That word marvelous light means this wonderfulness. He's called you out of darkness of the world into the wonderfulness of the kingdom of God. What a God, man. You blow me away, God. You took me out of that darkness. Gave me this wonderful. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. We must fulfill the call of God at all costs. One thing I do. One thing I do. I forget that. And I reach for that. I forget what's behind me. That word forget, it means to lose out of mind, to neglect. My thought is you let go of stuff. Let go of it. Let go of the past. Let go of the past mistakes. Let go of the junk behind. Don't carry it forward. And reaching forward. That word reaching forward means to stretch oneself forward. To grab hold of God and to grab hold of your future. I like this little video. You got to stretch for something. Bring a stretcher. Look at this little guy. When you want something badly enough. I'm reaching. I'm reaching. Ah. Is that you? Is that you reaching forward? Can I get someone to help me close? Is that you reaching forward? Reaching forward. An intense effort as well as a firm purpose. You see, you can either look back or you can reach forward. Looking back is bringing the past to the present and it's destructive. Reaching forward is bringing the future to the present. It's grabbing the future and bringing it now. Looking back is grabbing the junk of the past and making it my present, which is destructive. But reaching forward is grabbing our future and pulling it down. And it's creative. It's powerful. It's life-changing. Which one do you do most of the time? Look back with regret? Or reach forward with anticipation, excitement, and vision? Are we stretched out? Are you stretching out to receive your calling? To do what God wants you to do? He's got something great for you. So many times we just don't listen. We just walk away or think, I've screwed up so many times you could never use me. Oh, God loves the screw ups. Because I was that person. I was the screw up. I messed up. But God doesn't give up. Even though you mess up. He just keeps calling. He just keeps calling. He just keeps calling. The phone's ringing. He's calling. He's calling you today. Are you going to answer? I love Isaiah 6:8. I spoke about it shortly before. Isaiah has a vision of the Lord sitting on his throne. In verse 8 it says this, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah didn't say, well, let me just look at my contact list. I'm sure I got some friends who'll be happy to do that. Then I said, here am I, send me. God is calling. Will you answer? Will you obey? Your adventure is one. Here am I. Send me away. Father, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you got me to the place you did. I screwed up so many times. But Lord, you never gave up on me. And through it all, you kept pursuing me. Help us, Lord, this morning to answer the call, to be willing to get alone with you, to hear your voice, to say, here am I, send me. To be like Abraham, to obey and to exercise faith. And to see something great happen, to advance the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. And help us all to understand that we're not done until they throw dirt on top of us. That the call is never done until we see you face to face. So, Lord, keep giving us the adventure. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.